This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeff Swanwade, after what happened yesterday at Travis Frederick's celebrity charity event, Ben and Skin emceeing. There was a bet payoff. Watch the video of Skin swinging the club at Topgolf and then going to sleep, having to wear this inflatable swan around the waist. Why? What was the bet payoff with this, Jeffrey?
Man, our show is so stupid. I don't even remember. I think it was a Daytona 500 bet where we all had to pick the worst racer, and I think mine finished fourth.
So were Zach Martin and Travis Frederick and Dak Prescott and these guys walking by you, looking at you with crooked eyes?
Yeah, the one who seemed to be the most amused by it was Mr. Hearns, our new wide receiver. I think he really enjoyed the idea of the swan. That guy, and you know, I know you guys have talked to him. That guy's a really fun dude.
Any stories from out there, whether it's the way the guys play or interaction, any Cowboy observations you can feed the Cowboy fans?
Well, I would say this. You know, those guys all clearly love each other and have each other's back. At Travis's event, there's an auction, and they auction off a Dak jersey, a Zeke jersey, and a Travis jersey, and they raised a lot of money. And the thing that's kind of cool is all the players are jumping in on the jersey bidding to raise the price of the jersey. So
nice.
They all show out for each other. It was mostly like a lot of the same crew that was at Cole Beasley's deal on Saturday night. Yes, we've lost some team leaders in Dez and Witten, but these guys all definitely have each other's backs and show out for each other.
All right, let's get down to business. Mavs analyst Ben and Skin, Jeff Skin, Wade, buyersafety.com hotline. We thought that we were hoping for pick number 3 or better. They end up dropping to number 5. How big of a disaster is this, or you still think everything's going to be okay?
I think everything's going to be okay, but, you know, it's hard not to be disappointed about this. Most people think that there are 3 possible franchise-changing players in this draft, and that would be DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, and Marvin Bagley. Now, we get into degrees of all that stuff. I'm personally in the camp that thinks that Bamba can be a special player, and I think that most people, when they evaluate that next tier, most people like Jackson Jr. out of Michigan State more than Bamba because he, quote-unquote, looks more ready right now. He hits 80% of his free throws and 40% of his threes. But I think Bamba has the ability, with the right kind of coaching, and it's on him, to turn into an Embiid-type player. So I would put that guy in the category of franchise-changing if he reaches his potential. And I think that the Mavericks have a really good shot of getting him at number 5. So I'm still really optimistic about the way things could work out.
All right, before we get into the next tier analysis, I want to get the conspiracy stuff out of the way.
Okay.
The Mavs got screwed. Mark Cuban's controversy and scandals. Adam Silver made him pay the price. The NBA, it's all rigged. What do you say to the conspiracy theorists when it comes to the NBA draft and the Mavs last night?
I don't know what, every team has a representative in the room when the ping pong balls get shot out. So I don't know how they rig this. Maybe there's some physicist that listens to the show that could call in and go, no, here's how they do it. But I mean, they're all watching it unfold. I don't really know how they could rig it, because when you get this many people in on something, so everybody's got to keep their mouth shut and everybody's got to be in on it. And I'm not prone to that sort of stuff. I think, you know, this is the way. I mean, what advantage does the league have to giving Sacramento the second pick in the draft?
Yeah, not much, right? Those massive markets like Sacramento and Phoenix.
I mean, what are we doing here? And if you want to be anti-tanking, nobody tanked harder than Phoenix. They have a borderline elite player that they just sat down for a month. They didn't even try to develop their 21-year-old. So I'm not buying it, but I understand when we're upset that we have the fifth pick instead of the second or the third.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily like a two-person draft, but I don't think it's a 10-player draft either, right? Would you say it's not nearly as good as last year's?
I just think the difference, Choppy, is that it's so hard to get the kind of bigs that can work in the modern NBA. That, you know, last year's draft, you had all these point guards. Mm-hmm. And everyone will tell you, you know, it's funny. It's like, well, you got to have all these elite wings to win in the NBA. Look at LeBron and Kevin Durant and all that. And all that is true. But generally, the two hardest positions to fill are center and point guard. Last year, the point guard position was really strong. You know, you mentioned it, probably about seven or eight deep just in that one position. And this year, you actually have several bigs that if they reach their potential, they appear to be, you know, top-notch bigs, with a couple of them having a chance to be elite, multi all-star Embiid type bigs.
Why Bamba over Wendell Carter?
Well, because of the incredibly unique aspect of his length. And, you know, we get into these comps, and I don't know that it's a direct comp, but we've seen how Gobert can impact a game. The thing that I would say to people is that Bamba moves significantly better than Gobert. And then people go, well, look at how skinny Bamba is. And I'm like, man, do you remember how skinny Tyson Chandler was? Do you remember how skinny Embiid was? You know, people are looking at these 23 and 24-year-old players and going, he weighs 40 pounds more than Bamba. And I'm like, yeah, call me in 3 years. So I think, you know, next year, I think Ayton will probably hit the ground running and be a borderline, not all-star, but just a notch below. And I think Jackson's skill set, he'll make a good impact. I'm talking about 2 or 3 years from now when these guys really develop. And I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, I think he's going to be the Greek Freak. But my point is that if you looked at the Greek Freak when he was 18, nobody thought anything special. Now, one, he wants it. And, you know, I've mentioned this on our show before. Carlisle called him one of the five most competitive players in the league. If you have that motor and then you have the God-given ability of, you know, Bamba has the longest reach in NBA history. That includes Manute Bol. That includes Sean Bradley. Reach can make up for a lot of things laterally. But he moves decently well laterally. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, he's out there moving like Kevin Garnett, but he moves better than a big stiff. And I think that combination, also combined with what we ask our centers to do in the Mavericks system, he will be a contributor immediately. And then 3 or 4 years from now, he could be a franchise-changing type player.
Talking Mavs draft lottery with Jeff Skinway, buyersafety.com hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Besides Trae Young, who would you be very, and correct me if I'm wrong on Trae Young, but I think I know how you feel about him. You're out. Who would you feel? Well, let's talk about that first. Why are you out on Trae Young? Besides Puma recruiting him.
He's small and he's not that great of an athlete, and it's a position of incredibly explosive players. I mean, just think about who.
But that
we
sounds
have
like it. Steph so far.
Okay, Steph is an anomaly. When we had Nick Nepik on and we were talking about this, they're saying doing your comps. I mean, to me, he's Jimmer Fredette, and I don't even think there's that much difference in those two players. I think they're almost identical. Except I think I could make the argument that Jimmer Fredette is physically stronger than Trae Young.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is the son of one of the greatest shooters in NBA history. He's got NBA genes, and he spent his entire life growing up in gyms. He is NBA gyms with NBA coaches. He is far and away the anomaly. To say that Trae Young has the potential to be, you know, Steph Curry is like saying, okay, well, Michael Porter has the potential to be Kevin Durant. I mean, it's like such a reach. It's like he ain't reaching that. There's no way. And I think he'll get destroyed on defense. And this is a league where just imagine him trying to keep Dennis Smith Jr. in front of him. And Dennis Smith Jr. has a long way to go to be great. I think he's going to be one of those guys that is a good backup point guard because he can come in and fill it up off the bench. Shooting is at a premium. But he doesn't move the needle for me.
Who else would you be very disappointed in of the possible Mavs targets if they drafted him?
Quite honestly, Sean, I don't think we're going to get to any level of disappointment because we're sitting at five. Mm. I mean, I think I think I personally would rather have Bamba over Jackson Jr., but I think if they're sitting there at five, I think they'll take Jackson Jr., and I think that he'll be a really good player here. I think where the disappointment comes in, it's kind of like what Choppy was talking about, where you go, this is a draft that actually has guys that look like they'll change your franchise, and we had the third best odds, and we didn't get one. That's where the level of disappointment comes in. I'm 1,000% convinced that we're going to get a really good player, a really good starter, and someone that we like. You just, when you're in a draft and you're so close to going, man, we could have had Ayton, or man, we could have had Bagley, that's where the disappointment sets in. But we're not going to draft a player at five that I'm going to be disappointed in. I just don't see it.
What would they have to come back with medically on Michael Porter for you to say, okay, you know what, I'll take him? Because there's, I mean, like you said, you mentioned Kevin Durant. There's probably not a guy with better combination of like athleticism, shooting ability, and size in this draft.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I would say, and Choppy, it's hard because we saw so little of him.
Saw 20 minutes. You saw 20 minutes of him.
It's kind
of
like Kyrie Irving coming out.
Yeah, but Kyrie had an explosiveness to him. Porter, you know, his athleticism is okay. It's not off the charts, but it's his skill level at that size that really entices you. And I don't want to say anything about whatever I saw in the tournament or whatever. I'm totally discarding that. If the Mavs medical staff, and I really believe in that staff, it's highly regarded all around the league. If they came back and said, man, he 100% checks out, not worried about his back one bit, then the only thing that I'm pondering is he an elite athlete? However, if he comes in for our workout and just shoots the lights out, which everyone says he can, and shows that you can even actually occasionally put him in pick and roll as the ball handler, I want to throw this out too. The Mavericks have one of the best player development coaches in the NBA for teaching guys how to attack off the dribble in God Shamgod. Like, if you want to go back to the day we got Harrison Barnes to what he is now, I mean, Barnes deserves the credit, but Shamgod has put in a ton of work, and he's working nonstop with Dennis Smith Jr. To get a player like Porter that has playmaking skills and putting him with a coach like that, I think you could really turn him into something. But for me, it really comes down to our medical staff going, man, the back was an anomaly. It'll never be a problem again. And then, you know, I'd be happy if we got a guy that some people thought going into the season might be the number one player picked.
Jeff Skinwade, buyersafety.com hotline. At the end of it all, because this is the huge topic, was tanking worth it this year?
I mean, I think tanking, it depends on the situation you're in. The situation the Mavericks are in, I don't believe that you just tear it down to the studs and try to suck. You know, Philly can make a good argument that tanking has paid off. But I think if you look at all their blown picks, you still have to get lucky. And the best example of that is Sacramento. Sacramento got lucky. In hindsight, man, I wish I'd had Sacramento's record, right? We'd have the number two pick in the draft. So there's still an element of luck that you're relying on, and that element of luck in any random draft. You could have the number one pick, and it's Anthony Bennett. So yeah. I don't believe in tanking. I believe in player development, and the best way to get the right kind of players to develop is to be at the top of a great draft. There's an element of luck, but I don't think you go, all right, I'm going to start TJ McConnell and Robert Covington for 3 years and see what happens. I don't believe in that, no.
So, but you think the Mavs, did they do a good job in tanking? This isn't like 2 years ago where we can yell at them more for not losing better, right?
Man, they had the third best odds in an NBA draft where most people agree there's three franchise-changing players, possibly four or five. So, yeah. Yes, I would say mission accomplished.
All right, last one real quick. Who's in more trouble, the Cavs or the Rockets?
Wow, that's a hell of a question. I think both of those teams are serious underdogs. They're playing teams that are way better than them. I would say that the Cavs are in bigger trouble because – you know, Houston, their whole game is relying on being hot, their best players being hot. And if you could tell me that tonight Houston goes out there and hits 53% of their twos and 40% of their threes, and guess what? They're going to win at home. So I would say Cleveland's in more trouble than Houston, but I'd be shocked if we had anything other than a Boston Golden State Finals.
Brad Stevens is, how do you summarize his genius? Are you a total buyer that he's the next Popovich, the next Belichick? Like, what makes this guy so special?
What makes him so special, number one, he's a great tactician, but number two, everyone who's been around him talks about his temperament. There, and I saw it jump off the screen last night. There was a play late in the game. There's a couple minutes to go, and LeBron's bringing it down in the break, and Jeff Green cuts to the basket, and he fires a pass, and Jeff Green clearly travels and then hits a reverse layup. And it's right in front of the Boston bench, and four Boston players are jumping up and down, losing their mind, and Brad is standing there with his arms folded like he's watching a science experiment. He's got this amazing temperament where he's never flustered, and he builds his guys up, and he empowers them through his temperament. And the combination of him with the OG head of Al Horford, and man, I know he's got a busted jumper, and I know that guys don't necessarily have to cover him, but our DFW's own Marcus Smart makes more game-winning Draymond Green-type plays than anybody playing in that series right now. Van Gundy said it last night. His greatest skill is effort, intensity, and attitude. And I'm so proud to watch that guy play from our area that's impacting the Eastern Conference Finals the way that he does without really any particular one great offensive skill set.
You're a machine. Thanks a lot, man. We'll hear you today at 3.
All right, later, boys.
Jeff Swan Wade paying off the bet yesterday in front of all the Cowboys on the buyersafety.com hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.